You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
Broadcasting live from the greatest city in the world.
Austin, Texas, baby.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
You guys want to play some twos?
You know what? Actually, we're kind of in the middle of a conversation.
B&E.
What's B&E?
Bucky Godbolt, Aaron Hogan on the Horn, 104.9 AM 1260 and hornfm.com with the Longhorns Play and Austin Talks Sports.
You think we've gotten too radical with our message? Well, I got news for you. You ain't heard nothing yet. And if you don't know, now you know. Glory, glory.
Good morning, Austin, Texas. Welcome back to B&E Friday mornings. A. Collier joining me this morning. E. having some eye surgery done. Ty Henderson, of course, is here producing. Ty, how long have you been with us now? It's been a while now, right? Are we at a year yet? Are we having an anniversary come up or something like that? It hadn't been a year?
No, I can tell you that.
You jump right in there. You know.
Yeah.
You've been around this damn block.
Yeah. Well, like six months.
It's been
least.
6 months.
Yeah, 6 months.
And you're still here, huh, with us?
Time flies when you're having fun, right?
Yeah, well, that's what they say. They tell them because we get rid of them in a hurry.
I stayed.
You did stay for a while.
Yo, you and E. Hogan are like the Bill Belichick, Nick Saban coaching tree. If you just hang around long enough, something's going to happen for you if you want to stay in the
good
business.
Good or bad.
Good or bad, yeah. Something's going to happen.
Something's going to happen to you.
Yeah, you could be you're like Ari Temkin, Brad
gonna,
Kellner.
Or you're going to get a paper out.
Right. Adam Wags has his own show.
Or you're gonna
I'm
get
with
a,
Chad now.
Or you're going to be doing Sunday papers on a bicycle somewhere.
Who are you referring to?
Oh, I'm referring to somebody for a show. And thank you all. And thank you to all the listeners, wonderful listeners, for all these years. It's been and someone, you don't have to say, hey, Buck, we're going to miss you when you're gone.
Yo, I saw that. I know if you saw it.
I didn't see that.
You saw it. I can't believe it.
Like when you pass away.
They said when you croak, too. Why would they say it like that? I saw it. I was like, yeah, we're not going to talk about that.
That's more insulting than my wife at that 156, 57, when she looked and said, dang, that's it? That's what you got?
Yeah. Hard to feel manly when your wife says that about you.
Hey, look at that old man.
That's why you need that blue chew.
Hell yeah. So I can get my workouts in and stuff. Got that right. But yeah, we're gonna get that done. I'm going to 165 before summertime. I'm gonna make a goal. I like to make goals. I'm gonna put this as a goal. I'm going to one. Should I start at one? Say 160 before I go 165.
But you move too much, man.
I can't
you always
stay still. Outlook.
You can't stay still. That's a part of the problem. You gotta relax.
Are you saying I need to lay up on the couch
for
more?
Somebody
just eat?
For somebody that's mad husky, you gotta do nothing. Just chill.
Is that how you get
carbs
to be round shouldered? If you just sit on the couch.
Yeah, you love pasta too. Make sure that garlic bread's there.
Oh, you know I love that lasagna. My wife can crush some.
Based on my lifestyle, I should be at least 300 pounds by now. I don't know how I beat it. But I'm sure I'll get there eventually. But I can help you out with some bulking diet methods.
See,
I'm a calorie man.
See, Ty was a former Westlake football player, so you know metabolism is just
it's built into my DNA.
It's in his DNA. Like it just runs off. Like
well, I don't. I got a whole family of skinnies.
Yeah,
a couple of my sisters maybe. I mean, I just got skinny. My mom was real, real thin. You know, God rest her soul, she was the best thing in the world. Mm. And my dad was real skinny, but he got really frail looking. As he got older like I'm getting, he got skinnier and frail looking like a heavy wind would just like take him away.
you're getting close to that.
No, dude. I
worry about you on some of those windy mornings.
No, I'm good.
Those steps.
No, I'm good. And all that falling is because of my back. It's because, and more so than my knee. You know, I got a knee replacement. And the dude told me that that knee will be as good as it was. Dude, there ain't nothing as good as it used to. When they tell you that, for all y'all out there, do they tell you, oh, the back will be better, the shoulder after we have surgery is going to be better than it ever was?
But they're also thinking you being a former athlete, oh, this guy's going to be working out and doing physical therapy and keeping that knee right. Like, that's in his mind when you say, yeah, I was a former football player is probably why I'm having these knee problems. the doctors think, oh, yeah, these guys.
Oh,
guys,
they don't know that we lay up on the couch and watch golf. No, no, no. Before I had my knee replacement, I went. Remember we used to have that facility downstairs, the group that did the therapy and stuff? I went down there for 6 months and worked out hard before I did this. Now, I got back, and the reason that my knee became okay is because I worked out before I went to surgery. I suggest that any kind of surgery you go to, get physical therapy on the spot that's hurting you the most. Just get yourself ready for surgery because it's not a joke.
Right.
You know?
Oh, yeah, I know.
You got to get that stuff done to you. But, yeah, I'm going 160.
Yeah, see, people saying protein shakes. What else? Yeah, people on Specs text line, hit us up, 512-337-3776. What can Buck do to gain some weight at his age?
Eat a peanut butter and jelly sandwich before you go to bed every night.
See, that's old school right there.
Yeah, it's nasty, too. That's,
I had to do that every day of my childhood life.
Because your dad wanted you to put that weight on.
He thought I was going to play in the NFL one day.
See, I was the opposite. My pops, when I was playing Pop Warner, fourth grade, and I didn't make weight because I was too big for the league I was playing in, my pops was like, nah, this ain't going to happen. We got to cut you back a little bit. So I was eating, like, Chinese food egg drop soup every night.
Oh, that's so nasty. Like,
that would make me go to the steam room. Like, I was, like, 9 years old in the steam room.
As if you were, like, a wrestler trying to lose weight.
Yo, CeCe got me right. I was in best shape of my life at 10 years old. I was right. But then I ended up just playing in a no weight limit league anyway. So it didn't matter.
That was a scary league.
It was a scary league, yo. I was seeing some brothers. We were going over
pancake
there.
Pancake fools.
Yeah, I was playing at Southeast Austin Dove Spring Rustlers. We were cold, but when we went to East Austin, and played against like Rosewood and all them.
Then
stuff.
Kids are like
Rosenberg.
But those 12 years older dads that looked like they were 36.
Them dudes
running y'all over.
Them dudes used to go.
Oh boy. Good to have Zay in this morning. We're talking some basketball, of course. Last night, K-State, nice win over Michigan State. I thought that was. I know all the games I thought were pretty good last night, but I thought that still was the best game of all of them.
That's the game of the tournament for me so far.
Was it?
I thought
good.
So.
I'm glad I'm not alone. And I thought that was a fantastic game. Fantastic game. And Noel last night, the 19 assists. He had 20 points. You know, he didn't have a lot of points until late in the second half when he started. And then the last bucket where he didn't even have to shoot it. With time running out, I'm like, dude, you're not really going to throw this up.
No, it
didn't matter at the time.
Yeah, it didn't matter, but it's fine. He's in New York. I get it. And, yeah, he played his ass off. The control that he has over the game and the confidence that Jerome Tang, which I don't think we talk about it enough, what Jerome Tang's
done. Did you hear
Tang's
what he said
done?
After the game where Noel said, he goes, I determine how the game is going to go. He said, I determine how the game is going to go.
If you look at all Kansas State losses, Marquise Noel doesn't play well. He has like 5 turnover games, and he doesn't have the assist that he normally does. So he has to play well for them to go. As much talent as they have from Tomlin and Keontae Johnson being first team all Big 12, Marquise Noel is what makes them go. And I just saw a stat that got pulled up on ESPN. Like, he's putting up more numbers than Jason Kidd and T.J. Ford did during their best years of the tournament.
Oh, his assist numbers are ridiculous.
Yeah, T.J. Ford averaged 14 and 10 that 03 season, which is T.J. Ford's birthday. Happy birthday to Longhorn Goat. But Marquise Noel doing that at 5'7", and one of my favorite plays of last night, Ty, is what everybody's talking about. Was it scripted? The alley-oop where it looked like him and Jerome Tang are arguing with each other. Like, this is in clutch time. There's like a minute to go in the game.
That's a play. Yeah.
That's genius. That's like some football stuff.
Yeah.
And the off-the-back inbounds they had too.
Yeah.
You got the quick layup. There was a lot of cheeky stuff going on from both sides last night. That was just an all-around
great game. When he looked over at Coach, I mean, that was a part of the had the timeout, come out of the timeout, and just do that. That wasn't just, I saw my guy cutting. That was like playing when he's looking at the coach. It looked like they're almost arguing about something.
Yeah.
And then they get a backdoor cut.
If you're Andrew Hogarth, you can't get beat on that backdoor because he's playing way too high up. To help. His man is in the corner and Hogarth was towards the wing. And if you're just playing natural basketball tendencies, you got to be on the bottom where you could see man and ball. He couldn't see his man. So when Jerome Tang and Marquise Noel are getting into that argument or whatever, it looks like he looks at Jerome Tang. Like, it looks like he glances up, and right when that's going on, there goes Keontae Johnson cutting for that lob, which he caught it for a reverse. Like, this is clutch time. This is the Sweet 16, and they play like they're on the playground. They play with this looseness, and again, you got to give credit to Jerome Tang and the confidence that he gives those guys. They only had two guys returning, and he had to go get a brand new team, basically, and when you get Keontae Johnson from Florida, that's what ignited it. So, yeah, I'm really impressed with what Kansas State did last night.
Second win for them right now. I mean, they've kind of picked up their pace towards the end of the season. They had, you know, I don't know if it was injuries or whatever. They just looked a little tired.
Yeah, they looked bad against TCU in the Big 12 tournament. They looked really bad. They looked like that team that a lot of people thought was going to get knocked out in the first weekend. And, yeah, I agree with you, Buck. They're finding their second win.
Yes, they
that's
are.
That's when they need to do it at the right time.
They're going to be trouble. And Gonzaga last night, that's a pretty good game, too. That's a late one.
Is Drew Timmy the best player in the tournament right now?
He and Noel. His numbers. Noel's numbers scoring are pretty good, too. He's averaging like three steals a game, too.
Timmy is carrying Gonzaga right now, though. I mean, they were down, what, 10 at halftime?
Yeah, they were down 13 at one point.
And he had like 28 points going into the half.
Right. Yeah,
I mean, that dude is he's on a different level right now.
He is, and yeah, it's between him, Noel, for sure.
I mean, Isu?
Yeah, Dizu, right? You got to count him. We'll see what happens
that's
tonight.
True.
But with Drew Timmy, he's really improved his ball handling, and just he has a little, you know, herky jerk to his game, a little bit of wiggle that we haven't seen, you know, throughout his tenure. Like now that he's dribbling between his legs, then he'll go back you down and he'll make
a
quick
spin.
Yeah,
he was more of a low post guy.
I have seen a few videos this morning of him on just traveling on like four of his, you know, like four different times last night, just pivoting, and he clearly takes like five steps.
Yeah, he walked a couple times.
I think the refs give him some love too. I don't know. But he also, in crunch time last night, he gave UCLA a shot, and they scored a three when he missed both those free throws at the end of the game, which that's the one, you know, chink in the armor with his game is I don't understand how he cannot shoot free throws. He's like a 61% shooter.
Yeah. And as I said before, this is one of those years where, yes, Gonzaga to me is flying kind of under the radar. Well, not anymore now that we've reached this far in the tournament, but going into the tournament – it wasn't – Gonzaga wasn't the thing.
That's when they're the most dangerous, though.
Yes, there's
no
doubt about it.
No expectations.
Yeah, that year that they lost to Baylor, did they lose that season? I think it seemed like they went undefeated until that game.
They had in the Final Four that year, UCLA was – they should have beat them, and that Jalen Suggs hit that, like, ridiculous
–
off the glass buzzer beater.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah, and I remember last year when the Horns went up to Spokane, when Chris Beard – his first year, and they had Chet Holmgren, and Drew Timmy gave him 35, and I was so mad at Chris Beard for not double-teaming Drew Timmy.
Zay was mad forever on that.
I was so mad. Like, dude, you know this guy's one of the best college players
of
all time.
He can dish it, though.
But you got to live.
Night.
But you have to live with how good he is, like 61%. Like, he will take over a game and kill. You got to live with those other guys beating you.
Kind of like what Texas did against Penn State.
Yeah. You just got to, you know,
let
you got
to,
yeah, you got to live with those other guys beating you. And if they do, you got to tip their hat off to them. Or, especially if you don't have a big man. That's why it's going to be interesting them playing against UConn, because Sonogo, Sonogo is a low down there. And he can move pretty well. So it's going to be
interesting. He's going to defend the rim. You're right.
Yeah, so if Mark Day, if they're going to bring out Timmy to the outside and make Sonogo dance a little bit, that could help Gonzaga, but he won't be able to do what he did against UCLA, what we saw last night. But still, Mark Few has done a good job, and Drew Timmy has done a great job in the offseason working on his ball handling to where he could bring the ball up the court and, like, get into his own ISO game. So it's not back down post play.
And he didn't have that down before.
Yeah, he didn't have that. He didn't have that when Chris Beard, when they had Chet Holmgren and stuff. He still didn't have that just like herky-jerky, I'll cross you over into a jump hook.
But they're making him respect it because
he's hitting threes. You know, he's hitting at least one three a game now, which he wasn't doing before either.
That's what I'm saying.
He was a short version of Kevin McHale.
Exactly.
For years, and now he can't handle the ball. So, Ty, I wanted to ask you about this for the Dallas Cowboys and Zeke Elliott. And where he could end up and where he's talking about ending up if they want him.
Well, his list, he dropped list. His list yesterday.
Yeah, I saw that with Cincinnati and the Jets and the Eagles. And I don't know if you can do that with the Eagles.
Who does he think he is, though?
DeMarco Murray did the same thing.
Yeah, I
left the Cowboys, signed with the Eagles.
I mean, he's just a guy still thinking he can play football. I mean, you got to go somewhere, right?
He can play. If he goes to Cincinnati and he takes over that Samaje Perine role, I think that would be the best spot for him. You know, you still got Joe Mixon there, who, you know, he misses some time. It seems like every single year where Perine and the other guys have to make up for it, and they've done a great job. And Samaje parlayed that into a decent deal this year.
Yes, he did.
But if he goes there, I think he could be a 700 to 800 yard rusher next year and still score like 12 to 15 touchdowns because they're definitely going to use him on the goal line. But if he goes to a place like Philadelphia
or the Jets where they got those young guys running back.
Well, you know, Breece Hall is coming off an Achilles.
Off a knee.
Is it
ACL?
Is it?
Yeah.
Well, you know, I wouldn't expect much from him this next year.
Right.
Maybe him going there too, but I think Cincinnati's the spot for him. I just, depending on how much, because they're not going to pay him much, you know, it being the Bengals. But if he can find his way there,
but that whole deal,
like he could rejuvenate his career.
I don't even know why he would even bring up the Eagles. Why would he even bring that up?
Piss us off? Piss me off?
I mean, that just doesn't make any sense.
With our luck, he'd go there and rush for 1,500 yards next year.
It's just that's the one name. I would have just said the Jets and Cincinnati. Even if I felt the Eagles, I wouldn't have given them any credence. I mean, that's your legacy you're messing with for the Cowboys, because no matter what, he's always going to be a Cowboy. That's always going to be the thing.
Oh, I'm renaming my dog if he goes to the Eagles.
My dog would
be named CD.
He just brought that in there, but he really wouldn't do that, right?
What you mean? If they offered them enough money, why not?
It doesn't really make sense for them, though.
It doesn't make sense for the Eagles at all.
No.
They have Gainwell. They signed Penny. They re-signed Boston Scott. It doesn't really seem like there's many carries there for him.
Yeah, that's just a shot to the front office. I know you loved me for a lot of money because I took a lot of money from you guys, but I played pretty hard for, you know, the first part of my career.
And I know they're not talking about it, but is there a certain point where the Cowboys think about bringing him back?
No.
Do you think that's a possibility at all? I mean, minimum.
You mean the coach?
If he's getting minimum from other teams,
Coach
why not?
Zeke?
You think he'd want to come back after the disrespect they showed him?
Disrespect?
They paid that guy so much damn money.
Yeah, right?
I know. I'm just saying he might feel as if it was, you know, kind of disrespectful.
Well, all athletes feel they're disrespected at the end when it's the end.
Yeah, look at Cam.
It's not the end, though. He's like 28 years old.
Dude, it's the end.
For running back, that's the end.
He's at the
end. Used like him, that's the end.
Yeah, that's the end for
him. Him and Cam Newton. Don't be delusional. That's why.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
Cam Newton's doing what he did that pro day, and he still didn't look that good. Like, we knew he wasn't, but you're going up against Caspers. Like, there ain't nobody rushing you. You ain't got to worry about all the responsibilities, overthrowing guys. And you have the nerve to talk that mess like you did, just completely disrespect the league, like, that you've played in.
He needs to go, like, RG3's on the screen right now on TV. He needs to go get that kind of job. I feel like Cam Newton would be a good
commentary guy. He'd be decent. Yeah, he's a good-looking dude. He'd be decent on there.
He could wear all his funny hats.
No, he can't wear his funny hats. No. No, he can't. He can't do that. And Zeke, you know, now Zeke is going to be a center somewhere because of his last play with the Cowboys. That's different. Where he got just blown up.
Yeah, Big Mike, Kellen Moore, shame on y'all for doing that. Because that's now what a lot of people remember Ezekiel Elliott for, getting blown up on that horrible play.
He'll come home eventually. I think he'll come home for.
I like the way you say that. He'll come home and get no plays. He's going to come home as a coach.
We'll have Tony Pollard go down midseason. I mean,
to Ty's point on the disrespect, you literally have your head coach saying, "I want to run the football more this upcoming season."
Sure,
Zeke, you're gone. Like that has to hurt. If you're Ezekiel Elliott, that has to sting.
Do you think the Cowboys are done? I mean, they added Ronald Jones this week. You think they still are looking at someone in the draft, like Bijan, or even like a Deuce Vaughn later in the rounds? Or do you think they'll go free agency?
Bijan's such a tough thing.
I mean, if he's there, you got to take him.
That's what I'm saying. You have to, and then you see sides that make sense of why he would be there, but then you see sides that don't, like the Chargers and what they're going through.
If I'm the Chargers, you got to. I mean, does anyone want Austin Eckler? Is anyone going to trade for him?
Not with what he's asking for, talking about delusional. Like,
yeah,
he's asking
for an awful lot of money.
I get it. Like, you've been productive with the Chargers, but y'all got to understand, you're a running back in 2023.
Just you're not going to get that kind of money.
Yeah, take whatever you can get. Like, just take whatever you could get. I get it. You see a lot of guys getting all this money and stuff and all these other positions, and I know it hurts.
But he's just a fantasy king. I mean, that guy's been just unbelievable. His numbers are unbelievable.
Oh, I mean, he's been the most productive back the past 3 years.
3 years, yeah. It's hard to just tell that guy that all of a sudden, okay, no thanks, you're not that good. No, he is that good.
Yeah,
But I know what the
imagine that dude on a Kansas City or a Buffalo.
No,
I mean, I realize the money, you can't make the money work, and they're not going to do it. Because
they always
that.
Say they can't make the money work, but it seems like all these teams make the money work somehow. Somehow the money's...
It never works for the running backs, though.
Well, your shelf life just isn't... You're not going to keep getting that kind of... You're not going to keep getting... After that first 4 years, you better be something special. You better be like the dude from the Giants. You better be that good. Because those guys really don't come around that often.
Yeah.
And he struggled with injuries. But then all of a sudden he had, 300 carries this year? I mean, now all of a sudden he's back to that same guy. But that's partly because they got a nice new coach who understands what's going on, the ways of the NFL.
Yeah, Daboll
right
did a good job this
year.
Yeah.
I mean, he
knew. I mean, see the money that Daniel Jones got?
Yes.
Daboll did a really good job this year.
Yeah, and Daniel Jones somewhere else without that guy at coach, that he's not going to be the same dude.
No.
And they didn't have that many great weapons with the Giants. Giants didn't have
what
that,
weapons?
Yeah, at wide receiver. But Daboll himself understood what the quarterback was all about. And speaking of quarterbacks, the carousel just goes on, and the scouts are all over the place here for the four quarterbacks. Yesterday, Bryce Young had his workout and wooed him again.
Looked good.
The day before that, C.J. Stroud had his and just looked great. Today is the kid from Kentucky. It's his day.
Will Levis.
Will Levis' day is today, and next week – Richardson has his week because they'll all be done. It'll just be that dude. So everybody will be enamored next week when they go to Florida and watch that kid throw.
What's your – I know we got to get to break, but what's your thought on Will Levis? I can't get a read on him.
I think he's a two-year guy. I don't think he walks in and starts playing right away. I think he can use a year sitting and watching
right
somewhere. The other guys, Bryce Young and those guys, are they're playing.
Yeah, Stroud, Bryce Young, they're playing. Play now, guys.
And I thought Bryce Young was the guy, and now I'm not so sure.
Levis is my favorite guy in the draft.
Really? Why is that?
I just think he has the most potential. He's got a rocket arm.
He thinks he has the upside, and he's big and strong.
Yeah. And he's athletic. Around.
Yeah.
You know,
I need to see him like in the fire of it. As a quarterback, when things go wrong, like how's his maturity level?
Did you watch Kentucky baseball or football this year?
A little bit.
He put that team on his back. He was injured a lot too, and he still you could tell he cared.
Yeah, he's banged up a lot in the season and just played. He's a tough guy.
And he could have shut it down earlier than I don't think he played in the bowl game, but he could have shut it down, 10 games in the year and nobody would have complained. But he played through some injuries, played some tough games for. No, Kentucky's – is that a football school? I mean,
not even
close. They were decent this year in the past few years, but, I mean, not much expectations there. I feel like if he gets in the right system in the NFL, he could be like kind of, like a Josh Allen, like where maybe there were some questions coming out of college, but the all the intangibles are there.
I
think he's –
He definitely
like I said,
has an arm. He can move a little bit too.
Yeah, he's definitely – I mean, I just don't think he comes right into the league and starts flinging it all over the place. Like the kid from Florida, he's not coming into the league and just throwing the ball. Now, he may come into the league and just run away from guys, just flat out outrun you because he's 4'4 at quarterback and 260 or whatever the hell he is. But he's not coming in and making those throws yet. It's going to take him a while, but he'll be fine. And so will Levis. I think all four of those guys, I think all four of them are going to go in the first round. Somebody's taking a chance on Richardson.
Yeah, you got to.
You know, I whether you sit him or not, depending on who gets the chance to get him. Take a quick break, come back, talk a little bit more. Basketball when we return. B&E Friday morning.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
Welcome back to B&E Friday morning. E. Hogan getting his eyes fixed today. Wish him well. Get that little cataract surgery done that he's going to have done and come back on Monday morning, of course. Zay Collier joining me. Ty Henderson here, of course. And, of course, all of you wonderful folks out there. We appreciate your text messages. Yeah. And, of course, your phone calls that we haven't taken yet, which...
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
We'll get to that probably in the 9 o'clock hour, but I wouldn't bank on that one.
I mean, we got the blitz coming up. So.
Yeah, we do have the blitz coming up soon.
We'll see how that goes.
But we had a blitz yesterday with one call, I think, or two call. One of the best blitzes of all time.
Come on, man.
Fabulous, as a matter of fact. And we'll do that again, too, and hopefully only one.
Shout out to Ty for that slim thug, by the way.
By the way, yeah, my sisters heard that crack that I made. I didn't make a crack with you. Y'all need to understand. My sisters, y'all are just taller than the boys in the family.
Don't renege now.
Okay, that's exactly what I meant. My sisters are taller than kind of the dudes. You know, when you have four and four, that little mixture there.
Uh-huh.
They're taller. They're taller.
Okay.
Not rounder. Yeah. That was what I wasn't trying to say that.
All right, yeah.
So, all right. To my wonderful
I'll
sister.
I'll let you backtrack.
Uncle Mike out there says, yeah, I know. They listen in the morning.
How's little nephew getting ready for junior year, QB, right?
Yeah, Bethlehem Catholic High School. The one who's the same size as Bryce Young.
Uh-huh.
Don't give me that 5'11", 204, because neither one of them are that. So give me just a 5'9", one. How did they make Bryce Young 204 at the comp? Or did they load him down with weights like they do in those bass tournaments where those guys cheat and put a bunch of sinkers in their throat?
That peanut butter jelly sandwich every night before you go to bed.
204.
What?
For Bryce Young, weight at the comp. And he weighed that at his pro camp.
He weighed that yesterday?
Yeah, 204.
I mean,
again.
If you're working out as much as that, you got. I believe it.
5'11"?
Yeah.
Was he a little mini fullback?
I mean, he probably drank like 5 pounds of water
just before. Yeah, okay. Yeah. I guess you can do that. You can do those things.
I mean, you can gain up to like 10 pounds in water weight in a day, or you can shed. I think you shed 10 pounds of water weight in one day.
You tell my wife that's the deal.
Yo, Bryce,
a lot of water weight.
Bryce Young is a lot cooler than I thought. You know, I thought
he's a cool dude from Cali.
Yeah, I thought
he didn't let that Alabama stuff get to him.
Exactly. Like, I've seen them doing the Dougie and dancing and stuff after touchdown, just random clips and highlights, watching them at Alabama. You know, I think that's going to go for him because you see guys like Russell Wilson and you ask, is he authentic? How real is this? Is it fake? Like, you never know, especially at this point now.
That's right.
Let's ride all that BS. At the beginning of Russell Wilson's career, he was fine. And then Sierra came along, and Russell's changed since Sierra has been in the picture.
I feel like he's always been pretty quirky.
He has.
He was just winning.
Sierra wasn't there for that first ring, or the only ring. She wasn't there. She wasn't around then. She came after that.
And he's a daddy now.
He's a stepdaddy.
Yeah, stepdad. Baby Future.
Same thing.
Yeah, Baby Future, which, hey, salute to him. A lot of guys can't do that, raise another kid's son. A lot of guys can't do that.
Well, he's doing a decent job. That how old is that kid? That kid's like 8.
Baby Future about 10, 11. That's Baby Future.
Is he rapping?
I mean, imagine your dad being Future and your stepdad's Russell Wilson. That's two polar opposites in professional.
And your mom being Sierra? Nice.
Yeah, that's the thing. Sierra and Future don't have a good relationship, which
how are they ever together? If she, like,
I mean, Sierra made those tracks, 1-2-step and all that stuff. She's from Atlanta, so she got a little bit of that,
okay.
You know, gutter in her. And Future, we obviously, the Percocet, lean drinking person he is, it met, and then she realized, you know what?
Gotta get out of this.
I can't do this. So Russell, talk about opposite like you said. She did that, and I don't think he'll be a rapper. Baby Future, I don't think he'll be a rapper.
Ty, let folks know what time baseball is tonight and throughout the weekend.
7:30, first pitch tonight, and then 2 p.m. Saturday and Sunday.
2 p.m. on Saturday and Sunday?
Yes.
Start of the Big 12 conference play.
We're going to figure out a lot about this team tonight.
11 straight wins. This will be...
Let's go.
This is one of those. This is where you start saying, well, now you're playing the real dudes now.
Yeah, I mean, after happened at Fullerton, you knew that they had to win 10, or like if they wanted to get where they needed to go. That's what I said on CNZ. I was like, yo, these guys have to win at least 10 games before they play Texas Tech. And they did that. So,
well, talking to Coach Pierce yesterday, I thought was good because he said, we knew we had to win these games. I mean, like, you know, it's
Manhattan. It
wasn't the old, we're going to get our best game because we're Texas. No, we knew we had to beat these teams. They're about to get our best game, and they're not going to beat us. And that's one of the things that I have still not understand. I mean, everybody knows you're going to get their best shot. It's when you get to the point where you're at Texas and when you say you're about to get our best shot, so you go ahead and bring whatever you have. It's when the coaches start saying that, you know, it's not when they say that we know we're going to get everybody's best shot. Well, I mean, that's known. It's when you start saying to the other teams, you need to bring your best shot here today.
Right.
That's when they start saying that. It's almost, you know, I hear Sark talk about competition. You know, we need competition at every position. It's going to be really great around here when you stop talking about that stuff. And it's just known that this is great. You got great competition at all these different positions where you're not having to tell us as fans or us as media or that, you know, we need that kind of competition at every level, at every position. When the teams were good here, you already knew they had. Mac didn't have to tell you, well, we have great competition at the wide receiver. You already knew, oh, no, it's at Texas. It's great competition. I'm pretty sure Nick Saban doesn't have to come to the podium and tell everybody that, you know, we've got great competition. You just know it when you take the field at that place. Kirby Smart's not having to do that anymore, talking about, well, we've got this great competition. No, we don't have to talk about great competition. It's just the fact that we're playing against each other and practicing against each other. That's what the greatness is. I don't have to tell y'all about it. I don't have to talk about it anymore. And I think once you get to the point here, it's just as always kind of been that way here when it comes to sports is, oh, everybody gives us their best shot. It's when you're just going to start telling them, you need to bring your best shot up in here this weekend when you come here.
Yeah.
Because we're going to bring our best shot all the time. And it got to the point where when coaches used to say that at Texas, it always to me is like, dude, they don't even have to bring their best shot to beat you. They're not having to bring they're not praying. You know, when TCU used to beat them in football, it was like, no.
Used to.
Yeah, well, when TCU, as TCU plays, it's not, they have to bring their best. They don't have to bring their best shot to beat you. That shouldn't be, they don't have to say that anymore.
Yeah, and with this roster and the depth that they're bringing along, Steve Sarkisian's crew, hopefully he'll stop saying that.
You don't have to say it anymore.
Hopefully, but you know, you go 5-7 this first year, and then 8-5 this past year, which for me that was still underachieving. You know, this team should always be a 10-win team. You should always be able to get to Arlington and play for a Big 12 title, and you want to be in the mix of things once you get to the SEC.
Absolutely.
But, yeah, they've done a good job on the offensive line, bringing guys back, hitting the transfer portal, you know, getting guys like
A.D. Mitchell.
You're
getting the best running backs in the country coming again.
Yeah, Jalen Callon, getting him, Gavin Holmes, just that's how you get the depth that you need where iron can sharpen iron, and you don't have to talk about it no more, because just like Kirby Smart and Nick Saban, you're starting to get those top five recruiting classes.
Absolutely.
Year in and year out, which is why even though with this 8-5 season this past year and 5-7 the year before, you see this coaching staff still getting extensions and still getting this. I see you roll your eyes. What you rolling your eyes for?
Extensions
former
on what?
Coach?
Extensions on what?
Do you see the debt? Progress. Oh. 5-7, 8-5. That means next year, bigger things.
9-2.
If that takes you to Arlington, I'll take it.
There you go. Because you got to get to Arlington.
What's that game.
So what's those two losses then? Bama and who else?
I think we beat Bama this year. They don't got a quarterback.
Okay. Well, Buck's saying 9-2. So if we go 9-2.
10-2 would be that.
Well, there's always somebody. Games. Okay. There's always somebody going to bring their best game.
Right.
I'll probably lose to like a K-State.
No, yeah. I mean, I don't even
Will know. Will Howard coming back?
Yeah. You know, something weird. Like, we're not losing the Tech again.
I don't know. I don't.
At home.
I don't know. Tech.
I think you have to see. You got to see what your quarterback's going to be like. What kind of. What if he's the leader or who's going to lead around him? And I got to believe before it's all said and done, because you're not going to have all these offensive linemen around you forever. Some of them ain't making it to their senior year. Some of these guys are going to get real good. The teams are going to look at him.
Yeah, you got two more years of Kelvin Banks.
Yeah, I mean, the guy's going to be gone. They're not sticking around here for 5 years or whatever. They're just that good. But if you continue to keep on having these classes right behind those guys, it's I don't know why it can't be. I don't know why it can't be next year. But I think your quarterback situation has to be straightened out, or your quarterback, your offense has to be dynamic. It's time for the offense to be dynamic. You had an opportunity with the running backs that you had here over the last couple of years to be really, really dynamic, but you're still kind of finding your way with your quarterback. This year, I would expect no matter who the quarterback is, they understand what's going on, and the wide receivers understand what's going on. They have too many talented wide receivers here.
Way too many.
It's just they just got, yeah.
Yeah, because if you get in that Xavier Worthy situation again, the talent that you have and depth that you have now, you should be able to sit him to the side and not keep throwing it to him when he has a broken hand.
Yeah, if he's not having that day, the next guy will have that day. Or Jordan Whittington will have that day to make up for things. And then maybe Xavier Worthy has it the next week they play. Still practices hard, but maybe the next game is his game. I know one thing about Xavier Worthy that I've seen over the last couple of years. There is nobody, I don't think, in college football that runs better scoring zone patterns than that guy runs. Coming out of your cuts, sharp and ready to go.
Oh, that whip route against Iowa State is still one of the best.
But even the crossing
route,
he does great crossing routes. He knows when to slow down. He knows when to speed it up. And if the fundamentals are there with him just catching the ball, he's dynamic, I think, in the scoring zone. For a guy that's only $170 or whatever, yeah. Am I giving him some of my weight? I may have been giving him some of my weight.
You might be giving him a little bit.
Okay, well, I think he's dynamic when it comes to scoring. I think he understands the end zone areas and where to sit and how to do that. And plus, with Sanders, well, that's a future All-American tight end if you get him going in the right direction. But once again, with him, you have to get him going early in games because he'll get disinterested. If you're disinterested in him and he's not getting the ball early, he ain't going to be there to block for you in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, he missed a couple of big assignments this year blocking.
Yeah, but make sure that he's going in the games. Get him. That's your job as the play caller. That's your job as the head coach. That guy right there is very valuable to me. So what do I do? Not get him the ball early? I'm not saying that dude pouts. I'm just saying he's not as into it. You have to. That's your job as the coach to get him into it.
Yeah.
So get him some balls. Man, I don't care if you get him on a reverse. Or he carries the ball, make him think he's really a big part of what your game plan is. Don't try to make him a big part of your game plan in the run game, you know, in the fourth quarter, because that dude is going to be like, you mean it's now? You're interested in me now?
Yeah, and that's not like going anything against JT Sanders, no, but kind of like what we were talking about earlier, you got to know your players in order to be a good coach and get the best out of everybody. Each player is different. Each player operates different.
Right.
So going to JT Sanders earlier will keep him into the game, and you won't have to worry about.
And then late in the game, when you need him on a big play, he's going to make a big play for you, whether it's in the run game or the passing game. He knows, man, you've been going to me all day. You really are going to depend on me right now, so I need to make a play. And that's not just in passing game. That's in if he's got to have a run block for or an outside or toss sweep or whatever, he can get that kind of block for you. But you show no interest in him early. His mind just kind of like, oh, I'm just in the game.
Right.
How important am I in the game? I'm in the game, though. All right, take a quick break. We'll be right back. The Blitz is next. We'll be right back. I'm B&E on Friday morning.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
Welcome back to B&E Friday morning. Specs text line, I love you people. Or not really, but I appreciate you people, some of you. Says that JT Sanders take is the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Who wants a player like that on their team? That's why you don't coach, because you got to make sure things, everybody's not the same. Who wants a player like that? I do.
Yeah, with that talent.
Can I raise my hand? I can help him. I can change certain things about certain guys. That's why you get paid.
Yeah. Like, these are guys that are coming from being the best player on their squad. So your role is going to change.
And that's why you have to coach. That's what coaching is about, being able to have guys change. I mean, you could have 5-6 guys like that on your team. You have to coach them in certain ways. You have to get the best out of them, and you have to make sure you get – your job is to get the best out of them.
Right. What's the point of a pregame speech if that's the case? You just go out there and be like, hey, see y'all out on the field.
Who wants a player like that on their team? A lot of people do, and that's why they figure they can coach him. They can coach him up. You goof. That's what they do. That's what coaches do.
Yeah, we haven't had a tight end like JT Sanders in a long time.
Just kidding.
Since when? Can y'all name it?
David Thomas.
Jermichael Finley.
Bo
Scaife.
Bo Scaife was pretty good.
Yeah.
Bo Scaife was really good. Yeah, yeah. I don't know why I'm talking about pretty good. He was damn good. He wasn't pretty good. He was damn good.
Them ACL injuries and everything.
And he did it all, too. And he got in that trenches, and he got down and dirty with you on those teams for sure. All right, let's go to – we got to get ready to go to your Blitz. That's right, it is the Blitz. So you guys can start getting that
the Bucky and E Blitz.
The Morning Blitz brought to you by Apple Leasing, where you only have to pay for the new half of the car or truck, the half under factory warranty, in any make, any model. Click appleleasing.com and see how easy it is.
All right, here we go. First Blitzer, you're up.
Bucky.
Yes, sir.
So you, Mark. Beavelberger's men's basketball team is going down tonight.
Come on, Arrow. How's Soonerland?
Yeah, where are they at in the tournament?
Yeah, they're not there, are they?
Nope.
Men's or women's? Next Blitzer, you're up.
It's Friday, boys and girls. Time to bang. Bang them threes, bang them boards, and bang the big man inside.
Hey, bang them boards for sure tonight. Next Blitzer, you're up.
Freshly caught wild Atlantic salmon, Bucky. Oh. That's the smell of my coochie camera. Sam Cummings.
That's right, it is. It is. That's right, it's fish day for me.
Gross.
Next Blitzer, you're up.
My brother-in-law helped Dylan BC with his calculus homework at Hendrickson, and we should hire Rodney Terry.
That's what I'm talking about.
There you go. Next Blitzer, you're up.
Hey, what's up, you dumbass Aggies? You missed dinner last Saturday night, but tonight it'll be sweet. Hey, I think he joined up with them Aggies. You know, he did have a threesome with a donkey.
He was working that donkey. Next Blitzer, you're up.
I did it. Hey, by the way, that old Mark Few dude.
Yes.
He kind of outkicked his coverage in the old lady department. I mean, she ain't no Carrie Underwood by any stretch, but old deliverance looking boy like that, she's not too bad.
She's not too bad. Next Blitzer, you're up.
Coach.
Yes, sir.
Is it true that he's not really getting his eyes worked on, that he went for spend a romantic weekend getaway with Sunset Guy? He's finally paying his bet.
He's never going to pay that bet. He's never going. He will get the Bud Light, but he's not going to sit on the rocks with Sunset Guy. Next Blitzer, you're up.
Zay, can you explain to your cohort, if your buddy comes into bed with you, he wants to be more than buddy?
That tie, they'll forget about that tie, believe me. Eventually, they'll forget about it.
It's all right. I'm a good friend.
That's right. That's
a good friend.
That's exactly what you did. You are a good friend. Much better friend than a bunch of us. Mostly all of us. All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. B&E, Friday morning.